Welcome to the Insider Safe Place for Men podcast show. Because every male survivor deserves hope, healing, support, and a BMW. And here's your male survivor, leadership coach, and hypnotherapist, Thomas Edward. All right, everybody. What's up? We are coming towards the end of the year. Another year. You know, and it was interesting because I kind of sent out the final kind of just, you know, newsletter for the year. The question, you know, I'm asking everyone, you know, on this healing journey for 2024, how are you going to be different a year from now? Yeah, how are you going to be different from a year from now when we're talking about, you know, dealing with the sexual abuse? How are you going to be different? Or are you going to be different? Are you going to do anything? Are you going to move in the direction? Are you going to figure out what your healing vision is? I don't know, but I'm asking you to possibly think about that. All right, guys, so here we are in our last one for the year. And, you know, like I said, you know, course, during this time of the year, you know, I've got different stuff that I'm working on. And if you've gone up to the website, you see that I've changed a little bit, you know, each time, because I'm trying to keep stuff, you know, fresh as much as possible. And you'll notice now, for those of you that are interested, there are a couple of you have access to some free mini courses up there. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this, because, you know, as individuals, as they come in and work with me and they're trying to figure out, okay, you know, why do you have these different phases? Well, people are coming in at, we're going to say, different levels or different phases, different experience. So there are some of you out there that, you know, maybe you're just now actually learning about the sexual abuse that took place in your life. And so you're in that starting phase. Some of you have this inkling that something happened, but you're not sure. And so you're in what we call phase one, right? And so what the courses do, depending on where you're at, will kind of give you more information that will help and guide you along, as opposed to some of you have had, you know, counseling, you've had therapy, but you'll notice I'm still left with that we're still stuck here with the CPTSD issues. It was interesting because someone asked me a couple of days ago, and they're like, hey, what is the difference between the CPTSD and PTTSD? And I was like, okay. So I said, one of them has been recognized in the Diagnostical Statistical Manual number, I think we're on number 5, 4, or 6, I can't remember. So that means in the big psychology book, they look up the word depression, clinical depression, and it has all these lists of different criteria. So when they're diagnosing you, to say, oh yeah, you are clinically depressed. Well, when it comes to CPTSD, everyone acknowledges that it exists, but it's not in the book. So no one can diagnose it. Okay. It's like, oh, well, that doesn't help, right? So I say this is pretty much what CPTSD is. Okay. So do you know what PTSD is? And they're like, yeah, post-traumatic stress, you know, disorder. Right. Okay. I said, now, so think about during the abuse that you had post-traumatic stress disorder at whatever age. Okay, so let's say 5 or 6. Here it is now, you're age 45, 52, and guess what? You're still dealing with that same crap, garbage. Mom, I'm going to keep my language here. And so guess what? Why are you still dealing with it? Because it's complex. Okay, does that make sense, you guys? That's why it's complex post-traumatic stress disorder, because there's so many pieces that you're still dealing with that 15, 20, 30, whatever years later. Mainly it's because you haven't had the chance and opportunity to really process it and work through it. So that makes it complex. And then it has all these different other things because it happens during a certain time. And then certain developmental stages are stunted or arrested. So that makes it complex. Okay, so hopefully that helps you to understand that a little bit more. So when you go up to the website, what you're doing is you're deciding between those of you that sign up, right? So you've got to sign up. And so what I've done is I've given you an example where you get to enroll and take one of the courses. So you got one or the other. Either you're kind of starting the journey off or you've been doing this for a while and you're just getting a little bit more, you know, information. And so the reason I do that, so you understand those of you in the new year is coming, right? And so now I'm starting to put it out. It's like, okay, if you're going to work with me this year, sign up for classes. We got to get going because usually I start in February. Okay, so usually December 15th through the end of January, the new year is my downtime because I'm putting stuff together, getting stuff ready to go because then I have to decide, you know, how many people I can work with this year. Because I've got other stuff that's going on too, right? And so by doing this, this will give you an opportunity to say, oh, okay, so I would probably be more of a candidate for phase one as opposed to phase two. And then there are some of you that are just like, no, I just want it all. We're going to do phase three, right? We have to have some conversations around that. So when you take and get access to those free mini courses, it's just going to give you examples of like things that are in those phases. So then you have a better idea. The cool thing is this, one, that it's free, but two, you're going to get something out of it, right? I believe and I know you're going to get something out of it. You know, one of my goals is no matter what course, whatever I take or whatever I listen to, I always tell myself I'm going to get one thing out of this. And then that means that I'm going to be a success because I'm going to get at least one thing. And guess what? I always find one thing because I set that expectation. So that's kind of what that is. If you go up to the website, you know, feel free. But, you know, if the numbers are true, only about 4% of you are going to do anything. So I guess I'm talking to the 4% out there that are like, you know what? I've been in this long enough and it's time for me to do something. Okay. So the 4% of you out there, guys, that are like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do something. Go up, get access to the free mini course, and get a little bit more information. Now, today what I'm going to do is, since I kind of had that question, I'm going to talk about an issue that is a CPTSD issue, which is a complex post-traumatic stress disorder. Issue. Okay. And so we're going to talk about that. It kind of came up recently and often during this time of the year, it comes up, right? So this is the time when, and the reason I say oftentimes, you know, between whatever really is Thanksgiving until the middle, whatever of through New Year is kind of my downtime because it's not really my downtime. It's the time when most people are actually triggered. Right, because they're sitting at these dinner tables with these family members that have possibly sexually abused them. They haven't been able to say anything. They have to look into this person's face, you know, and maybe, you know, they've denied that whatever that they did anything to that individual. And so they're trying to live with that or they're trying to decide if, oh, should I even go to the family reunion, to the Christmas party, whatever, because that person's going to be there. And if you guys heard my one where I went back home and I saw someone that I wasn't expecting, I didn't know they were going to be there, that can be a very traumatic, re-traumatic experience, re-traumatizing experience, right? So that's one of the reasons that I kind of, you know, shut it down because I start getting emails and things for people during that time. Okay. All right. 4% of you. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And we're going to talk about it from an issue that often doesn't get talked about. I'm going to say very often that it doesn't get talked about. And that simply is the whole sexual part. Because guess what happens when we talk about sex? Yeah, it's crickets because it's just it's just one of those subjects. But it affects us. It affects us, and no one wants to really talk about it. So what we're going to do, hopefully in this little session, what I would like to do as much as possible, and I'm going to try to keep it at, as we call it, the layman's perspective. And I know it's hard because some of these concepts and stuff, I remember even when I was, you know, taking classes in graduate school in psychology and counseling, I'm like, who in the hell is going to be able to understand this language? Can we just make it easy for people to understand, you know? So hopefully by giving you maybe some examples and some illustrations, you know, of kind of what these words kind of mean, that'll actually help you.
Consider this your wake-up call. Boom! What was that?
Me dropping some knowledge on you.
All right, so dropping some knowledge. All right, so let's just think about this. So when we've talked about this, and we talk about the sexual abuse. Now, okay, so childhood sexual abuse, or CSA is what we call it, right? It's been pretty much widely, I'm going to say, recognized as a form of trauma associated, we're going to say, with long-lasting and, you know, pervasive, you know, impacts on survivors. But here's one of the areas that we don't talk about that much, but that it has an impact on the survivor's sexual satisfaction, okay? That it can have actually a big impact on the sexual satisfaction. But oftentimes in therapy, we don't talk about that, right? We talk about the childhood abuse and these different type of things, but it's like, okay, but wait a minute. You know what? I'm having problems, whatever, in the bedroom, my romantic life, my sex life, and we don't have opportunity to talk about the sexual satisfaction, right? Well, of course, we do at Safe Place for Men, because that's one of the CPTSD issues that we talk about. And so I think we can best understand it when we understand it, we're going to say, in the light of what's known as traumatic sexualization. Now, I remember I first talked about this years ago in one of the Safe Place newsletters. Okay, because you're like, what in the world is traumatic sexualization? Okay, so traumatic sexualization pretty much is the idea, or it postulates, that the abusive context in which sexuality was introduced, right? So the sexual abuse is going to be the context in which it was introduced to you as a child, might actually impair your psychosexual development. Okay, so you guys remember I've talked about this so many times. When I work with survivors, one of the things that I key in is when we're talking about the developmental stages in which the sexual abuse happened. Okay, so therefore, that traumatic sexualization, it might actually increase the risk of suffering from a wide range of sexual sequelae or after effects later in life. So things like, you're like, man, why am I using sexuality to meet my emotional needs? Or why am I dealing with this sexual dysfunction? It could be erectile dysfunction, other different type of things. Why do I feel like I have this sexual aversion? It's like, oh, I don't want sex at all. Don't touch me. Man, have I been there? Or maybe it's sexual compulsion, right? I explained it to one person as like, you will hump anything that moves. Of course, that also, if you're on the testosterone too, that really heightens it. Okay, I'm giving you personal advice. Don't do that one. But then you've got, you know, flashbacks. Sexual flashbacks and those different type of things. So when we're talking about that traumatic sexualization, it can increase the risk of suffering those different type of things that I just mentioned. Okay, now what happens is those things that I just mentioned, okay, so with the sexual aftermath, the sexual sequelae, for those of you that are psychologists, so they might especially actually contribute to a lower sexual satisfaction in our adult years. Okay. Now, what is sexual satisfaction? Okay. Simple words. Okay. So it's the appreciation of the positive and negative aspects of one's sexual relationships. Okay. Now, notice what I said there, because that means it's going to be subjective from some perspective. So the appreciation of the positive and the negative aspects of your sexual relationships. Now, here's the thing, though. Sexual satisfaction can occur independently from sexual function. Okay, like, what does that mean? It simply means this. You might be able to get it up, but that doesn't mean that you're going to enjoy the interaction. Okay? You might be able to have an orgasm, but it may not be pleasurable, right? So the sexual satisfaction can actually occur independently from the sexual function. And that's oftentimes the issue when guys come to me and we're working through this. That's one of the reasons they can't connect, okay, which really is another form of dissociation, but we can talk about that whatever later. Okay, now, so I'm going to give you a term. And this term, and I'm going to try to explain it the best that I can, and it's called dispositional mindfulness. Okay, dispositional mindfulness. Now, the reason I'm saying this, because what we seem to find, at least in some of the studies, that actually is like, okay, what can I do about this? Dispositional mindfulness might be an avenue in which we can help to remedy and work towards, I'm going to say, reclaiming our life in this area. Now, dispositional mindfulness, it's been associated, I'm going to say, with more adaptive sexual outcomes, such as greater sexual functioning. So we talked about that. So that means you have, you know, better orgasms. You have the capacity to actually have an orgasm, or you have better arousal. You can connect with your arousal, you know, sexual well-being and actual sexual satisfaction. Okay. Now, so the association between this dispositional mindfulness and sexual satisfaction, guess what the kind of middle idea or cause is? Emotional regulation. That's the emotional regulation. All right. So pretty much what we're saying is what's going on with us in the emotion area is really affecting a lot of the outcome of the actual satisfaction. Now, you're like, okay, T, I don't know if that, did that make sense? Okay, let me attempt to make it clear as mud. Like I said, and I even hate using that word. There has to be a better word we can come up with. I don't know. I'll invent one day. So when we talk about this positional mindfulness, pretty much it's going to refer to the innate capacity. Okay, so, you know, innate, you know, like you're born. Okay, so your innate capacity of paying and maintaining attention in the present moment experience. Okay, that's all that means. Okay, so dispositional mindfulness means that you have the capacity to pay attention to what's going on in the present moment experience, and you have an open and non-judgmental attitude. Okay, so now let me give you an example of a client that I work with, and maybe this will make it a little bit easier to understand. Okay, so there was a client that I coached. Each time that this client had sex with his partner, he couldn't focus or pay attention to the present moment of the sexual experience. And that was because the past sexual abuse by his uncle would always come into play. And so it would kind of be, I'm going to say, his distraction. Okay. So he didn't have that ability, which if we were to go into it, I know there's something else that's going on there internally when we're sexually abused with the broken broca and how the brain functions. But anyway, so he didn't have the ability, the innate ability to do that, to actually pay attention to the present moment experience and then not be judgmental with it. Okay. So what did I do? Okay. Well, dispositional mindfulness. So I used hypnotherapy, which I'm licensed in, and I use massage therapy, which I'm licensed in, to help him rewire his brain to stay in the present moment with his partner and not be distracted and then to not shut down with the judgmental voices in his head. That was it. That's how we, now it took us several, it took us about six sessions, but he was then able to do it. So it was like connecting. So remember, we talked about that emotional regulation, bringing the pieces together. You know, this is one of the reasons oftentimes when people, when I ask people, they say, I was like, have you disclosed? And like, yeah, I've disclosed. I shared my story. And I'll say, but do you own your story? And like, well, what does that mean? Right. Do you, can you emotionally actually connect with the story? Right. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are minimizing and sanitizing. A lot of people are just, okay, it happened. It was a robot, whatever. And one of the reasons is because they've been sitting there just talking about it so long that they haven't actually had the opportunity to really connect with it. So they don't really own it. Right. So it's almost like being someone else's story. But yet I still get to deal with the aftermath and the dysfunction of it. OK, so I hope that kind of makes a little bit sense. That big phrase, right, that we just talked about, dispositional mindfulness. Right. So it just means the capacity, the ability to pay attention, to maintain that present moment, that experience, and to be open and then be in that moment without a non-judgmental attitude. And there are a lot of guys that are actually dealing with that because of the sexual abuse. And what is interesting, because people always tell me, like, I'll listen to them. I say, well, it sounds like you might possibly still have a little of the shame factor going, oh, no, no, I don't have any shame, whatever. Okay, but now we move to the bedroom and what's going on? Oh, well, there's something going on there possibly with the abuse and the shame that I'm having issues that it's not actually being satisfying for me. Now, there have been a few studies on this. And like I said, I don't know, maybe before I, you know, die, though, people will be interested in doing more research on male survivors and sexual abuse. But I don't know, still limited information. But there have been some studies investigating, I'm going to say, this link and victimized, you know, individuals. And what they notice is that this cumulative childhood trauma, this interpersonal trauma, often relates to lower dispositional mindfulness, right? So that means that we said you don't have the capacity, the ability to maintain in that present moment, to pay attention to it. And you're just pretty much judging it from a negative perspective. And so what they notice is that those male survivors that suffered that, they tend to have lower sexual satisfaction, which can play all different types of games when you're dealing with, you know, relationships, your partner, and then some of that gets projected onto the partner, and the partner feel like it's their fault, you know, that they're not being a, you know, sexually whatever satisfying being, or they're not, you know, satisfying you. Oh man, I've just seen so many different things. You know, but what I always find interesting, I'm going to say, you know, is the explanation of the science theory that we as male survivors, we already know this. We already experienced this, right? So it's like, you don't need to validate our experience with a study because we live it. We experience it, right? So we know that it happens. Just because you haven't come up with a word for it yet doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, okay? That's kind of how the CPTSD works with that whole definition. All right, so what's possibly going on for us? Okay. Well, so the childhood sexual abuse, it profoundly disrupts our sense of self, which is going to refer to our experience, I'm going to say, within the world in the terms of individuality, unity, continuity, and it impairs our sexual identity development. So this is one of the reasons for you guys that will be actually taking, especially the CBTSD course phase number two, where we talk about the four different types of trauma, right? Now, most people have only identified three. We identify four. And what I've noticed, at least from a pattern perspective, depending on where you, I'm going to say, determine or kind of decide the category that you fall into, there's a certain amount of things that would seem to pop up, or patterns that seem to pop up in the dysfunction area. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So those of you guys that are doing that, hey, look forward to that. But it deals with those developmental stages. All right. So let me just be honest here. Well, not that I haven't been, I have been for the whole time, but this is where therapy didn't help me, and where maybe it didn't help many others. Because what happened was that we sat in that therapy office each session just talking about our childhood sexual abuse and now how it affected and created the dysfunctional life habits, right? No one would even dare ask, you know, which I do as a coach, right? But as a therapist, hey, so T, how is your sex life affected? No one ever thought about. And yet that's one of the questions when you're working with me, I'm going to ask you, because we need to know what's actually going on, what's going on inside of us. And so in particular, survivors, you know, I'm going to say, when we talk about this concept, as we talked about the sexual self concept, we might come to see ourselves actually as sex objects. So that's one of the reasons the satisfaction isn't there, or maybe one of the reasons we can't perform, right? Or we're dealing with the ED. We see ourselves as being fundamentally broken, or maybe as bad people because of the abuse that we endured, right? And so then what this does, this taints our relationships. It taints the whole sexual piece of it, especially in the longer term. And so these identities, these self-perception outcomes, they're grouped under the dimension of our sexual self-concept, okay? And so then that sexual self-concept, they're going to be associated with lower sexual satisfaction, especially for us as childhood sexual abuse survivors. Now, okay, he's using another word here. What is he doing using these words again, all right?
Consider this your wake-up call. Boom! What was that?
Me dropping some knowledge on you.
All right, so sexual self-concept just simply refers to the ideas, the thoughts, and feelings that we as individuals have about ourselves as sexual persons. That's it. Okay, so your sexual self-concepts are the ideas, the thoughts, and feelings that you have about yourself as a sexual person. And this is really an important component of actually sexual health. Okay, so it does exist. And so one reason, you know, when I work with clients, one of the reasons I ask for a time frame of the sexual abuse, so, you know, did it occur during early childhood? You know, was it adolescence? Was it during late teens? Because then what happens is the sexual self-concept develops mostly during our adolescence, okay, through that sexual growth period. And that experience is shaped by that and social expectations, okay? So that's one of the reasons that at least I consider that to be important. So then the capacity to experience sexuality in a satisfying and enjoyable way, as opposed to sexual depression, which is feelings of depression regarding one's sex life, okay? Or as opposed to sexual preoccupation, which is the tendency to think about sex excessively. So you've got three areas there that I just talked about. So the first one is the sexual esteem, okay? So sexual esteem. So think about if you had great self-esteem, what does that mean? No, you love yourself. You love people, right? Everything is good. So think about that from a sexual perspective, sexual esteem, right? But then in the middle, you might have sexual depression, right? Which is just going to be the feelings of depressed regarding your sex life. Okay. And then on the other end, you might have what's known as sexual preoccupation. Okay, so that's the tendency to think about sex excessively, right? So I've worked with individuals in all of those categories, and that's because I've been in all of those categories. And so that's one of the reasons, you know, for the hypnotherapy and massage therapy in combination. So I've found with myself and with other clients that when you combine those two, they promote a greater, I'm going to say, mental clarity in terms of thoughts and emotions. Remember that emotional regulation? And there's something about putting those pieces together that helps us to actually break our abuse code. That's right. That's why the program's called Breaking My Abuse Code. Okay. And when we do that, what we notice is that when we're talking about this, it can be particularly important for us as trauma survivors. Why? Because one of the things that we are prone to what's known as automatic functioning. Okay. This is where this whole idea, when we talk about this dispositional mindfulness, comes into piece. Okay. Automatic functioning just means what we often do is we undertake actions with little awareness. Okay. So it's like on a daily basis, we're just doing stuff. Okay. And so we're not really thinking about it. It could be a habit. It might be not a habit. But what happens is oftentimes we're dissociating. All right. It's just like maybe during the sex abuse, it was happening to us. Our little mind's like, okay, we got to protect you. So we're not here. Okay. So whatever's happened to us, happening to us, we're dissociating, we're floating, we're somewhere else. Okay. Oftentimes that could be what's happening to us. So we've learned that's how to be safe when we dissociate. Okay. And so that's one of the reasons we're using the hypnotherapy and the massage therapy in combination. All right. So, oh my goodness. That was, how long did we go for today? Okay. Oh, no. Okay. 30 minutes. That's not too bad. Okay. That's not too bad. Okay. So now can I ask you this question? Do you now understand why we call it complex post-traumatic stress disorder? All right. So hopefully I did it a little bit justice there to help you understand why the C is in front of the PTSD. All right. All right, guys. So as we close out this year of 2023, you know, I guess what I want to say to you is make sure that for you, and this is, I know, like I said, this is 4% of you, but now I'm going to say to the other 96% of survivors, male survivors out there, don't let this be your year of when it comes to dealing with your sexual abuse. You know, there is a great life that we can live. And so many times, you know, these things are happening to us, and sometimes they're subtle. And sometimes they don't get our attention until it's like the big dysfunctional, and it's like, oh, this is messing with my life, my job, my whatever. As opposed to maybe it's just the little things, and we're like, well, you know, but I'm okay. But what if you could be better than just okay? I don't know. I just think about it because I want to be a person of excellence. I want the things that I do be excellence, which is one of the reasons why I'm always studying and finding out what are the latest neuroscience is. So when I'm helping the individuals that I'm helping, that I can give them excellence, so I can give them the best. Okay, T, stop bamming on the desk there. You're passionate. Yes, we know. So, but I want you to think about your healing here. And so what are you going to do in 2024? And how are you going to be different if you live to this point 365 days from now? Now, what I can, and I'm going to put my little boast out there, but if you do take phase number two, I promise you by this time next year, you will be different. If you're following it and you're doing it and we're working together and you're gung-ho and you're ready to do it, I know you will be different, because so many guys are, because that's exactly what they did. But that's the thing. You have to decide to actually take the first step. Just go up to the website, Safe Place for Men, right? And if you're afraid and you're like, I don't know, well, just check on that, get access to the free mini course, check it out, run through it. Now, there is a limited amount of time, so it's going to force you to move through the program. So if you don't feel that you're ready for it, okay, it's only one module, then come back when you're ready. Because once you enroll in it, it puts you on a timer. I think it's like 10 or 11 days for you to work through that module. And the reason I do that, because that's how the online courses and coaching is. Yeah, there's, a little, grace and stuff in between there. But the whole idea is we're moving, we're accelerating you working through the issues. And guess what that means? That means that we have to be committed and dedicated, and we have to give it the time that it deserves. So I want you to think about this. What would you give for working through your issues for 1 year, so the time frame of 1 year, and then coming out, let's just say, with 20 years of the best life? Is it worth it? It's 1 year for 20. 1 year for 20. That's the way that I think of it, at least when I'm coaching individuals. And so only you have the answer to that. All right, guys. Happy New Year, I guess, in a day and in a couple of hours. Looking forward to those, the 4% of you that are ready to get this going and get it working. Like I said, if you are interested, once you go up and do the mini courses and you're like, hey, you know what? I think I want to do this. Get going. Okay, let's get the paperwork and the interviews and those different type of things going so we can fill the groups up, and then we have to move on, right? So I said we start in February, and there's a lot of stuff that has to take place in between now and those dates. So if that's you, then go up to the website, Safe Place for Men, click on that, get access to the free mini course, go through the course first, please, right? I know you're like, okay, this is kind of a weeding process. It is. Now, first of all, it's going to give you information that's going to help you. So to me, it's a win-win. But also, it's going to like, okay, it's going to let me know these are the people, once they finish, you're like, you know what? This is for me. I want to do this, right? And so guess what? Then the motivation is already there. And so guess what? Then I know you're going to succeed, right? Because you're already motivated to get that life that you want, that you desire. All right, guys. So until our next session, remember there's someone who cares about you, who loves you, right? And that here, there is a safe place. All right. Till our next podcast. Happy New Year.